Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Our show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we're excited to talk to Tim Hasselbeck, who is the head coach at Innsworth and also ESPN NFL analyst. And Tim, I there's no news or anything today, so I don't really know what we're going to get into with you about. But we'll try. We'll see if we can come up with something. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, when you say the head coach of Innsworth, the 1-0 Innsworth Tigers.
Yes.
Chase, I feel like that was a little disrespectful, the introduction there.
Well, I'm sorry.
Not bringing that up.
I'll get better. I was going to lead into that of how it went and that you are 1-0, but how'd you feel like your guys played?
I generally felt like it was pretty good for the first week, you know. Joe's favorite word, mental reps. We definitely had some guys that were, you know, not able to participate in some of our scrimmage, got their mental reps, but our group played well. It was fun. It's always a great atmosphere at Innsworth on Friday night, so it was great.
Who do you got this Friday?
We play Nashville Christian this Friday.
Oh, yes,
Nashville,
that's right.
Christian. Mm-hmm.
Jared
so,
Curtis.
Big challenge ahead of us, and we're excited for it.
I think that will be a very, very good game. I'm calling some Metro games this year, so I'm gonna try on a week where I might can get away to come see you guys play, but I have a lot of Friday nights where I'm going to be at a field myself. So,
okay, yeah. I like it. I said this to you guys way back. I've always appreciated how much you guys champion high school football, like obviously covering all the pro sports and stuff on your show and doing all that stuff. But like, you guys definitely have always made it a big deal. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's one of the nice things about our area. We've had people in town for the games, and, you know, like high school football in the Nashville area is usually a great thing for all these different communities to host games. So I do think it's something unique to our area and special to our area.
Well, and we try. I mean, it's something that, you know, it's affected all of us at some point in our lives.
Yep,
so I think that's why we want to do it for sure. So today is always a tough day around the NFL. Any general manager, any coach would tell you that. Obviously, players would tell you that. But how much can a team get better based on playing the waiver wire? The Titans have that first waiver claim, because there's going to be a lot of movement across the league over the course of the next few days.
Yeah, you can definitely get better. You probably get worse, too. You know, I think that's one of the tricky things, you know, in this situation, is like you don't always know. You know, a guy maybe, you know, whatever his opportunities were in the preseason, you know, it's hard to tell. Maybe there's a receiver that, you know, went off, but, you know, did the guy have a good camp? And so I think that's why the scouting of all players when they come out, and then how your pro personnel department does, you know, over time to, you know, understand, you know, and evaluate a player. So that when he does become available, obviously I heard, you know, on the update, you know, having the number one waiver claim, that means, like, in theory, you should get the best player that gets cut, you know, this weekend and or this week. And so, you know, do we all feel like that always happens? You know, probably not. But it does. It absolutely gives you a chance to improve. And you can think of countless players that, you know, were cut by their original team that end up somewhere else and then end up having Pro Bowl careers.
Tim, how many times, and I'm not making light of this, how many times did you get cut?
Dude, I mean, honestly, like, right when I think that we're starting to get along better, you just, right, like you just go right there on it. I mean, like, hey, man, how many times have you been fired, okay? Listen, three-time Emmy Award winner.
Thank you.
Joe Dubin. I mean, like, what? Eight. And the first time, it really hurt my feelings.
Right.
And then every time after that, I was like, oh, got fired again. Just got cut again. Like, that's how it goes. So, look, no matter what, it is a terrible feeling. It's getting fired. That's what it is. Like, it's your job at this point, and when they tell you no, you get fired. You know, so we call it cut or didn't make the roster or any of that stuff. But it stinks. It creates doubt for players. It makes guys angry. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that come along with it, and oftentimes there are factors that, you know, are outside of your control, or how you played, of why you get cut or don't get cut.
As you've gotten older, do you understand why you got cut?
No, not really, if I'm being totally honest. I think in all the scenarios where I was released, I think I understood them.
Okay.
You know, and I say that because, like, I had a preseason in Philadelphia where I really played well. I actually had a preseason game against the Jets. I went like 14 of 15, and then I got cut the next day. And, you know, Andy Reid at the time told me, he's like, look, you know, we drafted A.J. Feely last year in the fifth round, played in a regular season game. He's like, it's just kind of our process, and we're going to keep A.J. instead of you. It was like, I get it. Like, he'd played in a regular season game. I hadn't. They drafted him, not me. I understood it. You know, at the Giants, you know, they cut me to keep Jared Lorenzen. And at the time, I think they just kind of thought, okay, like, Jared had all this upside physically just because of, you know, his arm strength. It was like, this is what we're investing in. We're trying to go this direction. I didn't agree with it, but I understood it.
Do you, was that the 07 Super Bowl winning Giants team there?
So, I mean, again, just another, like, like.
Sorry, I apologize for him.
Today. I mean, God, did you win an Emmy for being mean? Like, what did you win an Emmy for?
I'd have 50 of those if I did. So, when you got cut, did Eli say anything to you? When you get cut, are you a man on an island by yourself? When you leave the locker room, how does this all work?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I think it depends on the place. There were certainly times that I got cut places, and it was like, yeah, I just got cut, and I was gone. And, you know, maybe there was a guy or two that I was friendly with that, you know, maybe would reach out and be like, hey, man, sorry that happened. But then if you are, you know, on a roster for a year or more and you get let go, yeah, then, like, you definitely have friendships, bonds, like maybe your wives might be friends, whatever it may be. And, you know, then that phone call stings a little bit more because, like the scenario in the Giants, Eli and I were very close. I get cut by them. And so, yeah, he calls and he's like, man, I'm sorry that it didn't work out here, because I had been there for 2 years already. So I think, you know, in those scenarios, it's definitely different. But I would say, like, I did get cut on Hard Knocks. This has been the second time I got cut. And, like, to your, you know, the question of, like, who reaches out, they put me on, like, a 58-passenger, like, gray line by myself to the airport for just, like, just the effect of, like, yeah, we cut this guy and no one's talking to him.
Oh, that's awful. We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, let's talk about some current things going on. Tim, I'm concerned, and I think you might be as well, that we have not seen Cam Ward play into the second half. Is this a concern of yours as they go into Denver next week?
Yeah, I think volume of snaps for young players is always a concern for me. The game moves fast. You're going to face adversity. You know, being able to play your way through it, I think, is important. And so, look, not everyone has the same approach. Andy Reid plays guys a lot in the preseason. Sean McVay never plays guys in the preseason. So I don't know that there's necessarily a right or wrong. But, yeah, I think for young players, it's always good, in my mind, to see them get more snaps than fewer snaps.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach of the 1-0 Innsworth Tigers. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, talking some NFL with him and the 1-0 Innsworth Tigers, of course. Have to throw that in there as well. Are there – you look at some of these quarterbacks that have been released, and Hendon Hooker's name comes up a lot around here because of obviously being a Tennessee Vol. What do you think went wrong in Detroit, and do you think that he does have what it takes to at least be on a roster, be a backup quarterback in this league, or was the offense that he ran at Tennessee kind of detrimental to him?
You know, and I think I'd said, you know, to, you know, people you know, when I was on with the, you know, the other show, you know, years ago when he was coming out, I'd seen him quite a bit at Virginia Tech. He was a good player at Virginia Tech. Like, he ends up at Tennessee because, you know, he had an outstanding season prior to that. So I think the challenge for Hooker was, you know, came into the league injured. And I don't care how talented you are, when you're injured and you miss time, it impacts you, impacts your development and other guys' reps, and you can fall behind. So I think ultimately that probably was just hard to overcome. Do I think he can play? Yeah, I do. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's got some exposure to playing in you know, it obviously preseason level, that type of thing. He's a very successful quarterback, like, and he's played in multiple systems. So I don't look at it like, oh, hey, he just grounded Josh Heupel and all of a sudden he played well. And he was a good player under Justin Fuentes at Virginia Tech. So I think there's a spot for him. I think he'll end up somewhere. And I think he's the kind of guy that can be around the league for a while.
Would he be an upgrade over Brandon Allen if you're the Titans, or do you think having a guy that has run the offense that Brian Callahan wants to run is what they need to do right now?
I don't think because you bring him in, you have to necessarily cut a quarterback. You know, I think that that would be the first thing. If I were the Titans, I 100% would, you know, have him as a guy that, you know, be, you know, at a minimum interested in bringing in. You know, what will be fascinating is just like you look at, you know, what happened with Kenny Pickett this week, or, you know, just some of these other quarterbacks that, that get released. All right, where does Hendon Hooker fit in the, you know, in the kind of the rankings of the guys that become available? So, you know, to me, I would think because of the upside of him, like if Trey Lance is getting the opportunities that he's been getting, then I think Hendon Hooker would be a guy that was relatively highly sought after.
Tim, yesterday we did the Bill Parcells criteria for quarterbacks. Yeah. I'm sure you've heard about that.
Yeah.
We went through a bunch of quarterbacks. I mean, it is almost foolproof. And you see the ones who don't hit that criteria don't make it. I mean, I wonder why more teams don't look at this like, hey, this is what we need to do, because what you've talked about all the time is volume of snaps and experience. Yeah. It's invaluable, right?
I think it is. Look, like people agree it's the hardest position in sports. And so if you can have time on task, then you figure out if a guy can sink or swim, you know, like can he play or not, right? I think one of the reasons Brock Purdy had success is he had 40-something starts in college. You know, I think one of the reasons you look at some guys that didn't have success, Anthony Richardson or Trey Lance or, you know, guys like that, like they don't have a ton of time on task. And so I do think that it matters a lot. I think you need to play the position in order to get better at the position. So, yeah, Parcells is, you know, I think he called him the commandments, you know, to draft a quarterback. They're really good, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, you just look at, you know, the guys that have come out in recent years, and the volume of work to evaluate a guy is so small, I think you can get in, you, I mean, you're basically just, you're playing roulette at that point.
Is there something about a Brock Purdy who you know, you transfer, and he's like, no, I'm going to stay here, and yeah, fights through that and becomes a starter? Of course, he gets the big payday. But is there something special about a guy like that who fights at that same school to get what he feels like he deserves?
Yeah, and listen, I don't know that it's necessarily even about, you know, do you transfer or do you not transfer. I think that the guy's, like, quarterback journey matters. One of the things I really liked about Cam Ward, like I like Cam Ward's journey, just like I like, you know, Josh Allen's journey. So like Josh Allen's journey, I like. No one wanted him. Big talented kid out of California, ends up at Wyoming. Probably wasn't choosing to go there. You know, plays. You know, plays there. All that stuff turns into a really good player. Like I like the grit and determination of that. But same way for Cam Ward. Okay, no one's interested. All right, I'm gonna go to Incarnate Word and light it up. Okay, do that. Like, okay, now I'm gonna go to Washington State and do the same exact thing. Okay, the landscape of this has changed. I'm gonna go prove that I can play, you know, at Miami, like, and I go do that. Like, I don't think it's, again, in this landscape, I don't think that transferring is like taking the easy way out. I think in some ways it's, yeah, and I'm going to go prove that I can play at this level. I do think there's an element of that, and I think we've seen guys do it. Some guys have done it successfully. Sam Hartman did it, kind of, sort of worked, but not really at Notre Dame, you know? And so I think that's why guys are doing it now. I don't think it's always a cut and run.
Would you advise Arch Manning to play his entire career out at Texas? I mean, he's getting paid, we know that, but the experience and the atmosphere he's getting, I'd stay in college as long as I could.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is you're there with good coaches that are developing quarterbacks that have developed quarterbacks. I think that's the different thing for Arch. Whether he's playing or not, whatever, like, you know, he's getting coached and developed by those coaches there. And so when his time does come to play, and to your point, look, he's being competent, but there's any real rush to be like, no, you know, only get so many hits on the body, like, I'm going to make sure I'm getting paid for him. Like, he is already. And so he's getting paid to develop and do all that, and then now he's going to get his chance, and he's going to be in a system that he knows, and he's going to be coached by good coaches that know that and have developed quarterbacks. And so I think when you do that, yes, staying's a great idea. It is a great idea. So, you know, the college football landscape is interesting. Like, to me, you know, transferring from a smaller place to a bigger place to prove that you can play at the big level, like, I think is okay. I also think that, like, you know, that's different than, like, what Nico did going from Tennessee to UCLA because you're chasing money.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. You know, when looking at a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, I think we would both agree you got to have a good run game. Tony Pollard has been solid for the Titans, but with Tajay Spears out for at least the first four games on injured reserve, that leaves Julius Chestnut as his backup. Do you think that, you know, Pollard has a lot left in the tank to be the bell cow for this team, or do you think the Titans will probably be looking at is something behind him on the waiver wire or free agency because of how important that run game is going to be to help Cam Ward?
Yeah, I think running back is one of those positions that when you go to the waiver wire is just littered with guys that can play at the end of camp. I think that just happens. You know, like, to me, that's one of those reasons why, like, I remember being at the Giants, Ryan Grant was in this backfield that had Tiki Barber and Brandon Jacobs and Derek Ward and had, like, all these running backs. It was like, dang, Ryan Grant, like, he's a really good player. He ends up going to Green Bay and becoming their starter. So, like, to me, running backs are – it's hard to make the team as a running back. It really is. And so guys are going to get cut. I think there's no question that the Titans will be looking, you know, deep into the running backs that get released this week.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst with us.
Tim, speaking of quarterbacks, I know you don't want to give away your game plan for Friday night. Mm-hmm. Jared Curtis going to Georgia, big dude. I mean, that is an atypical high school quarterback, is it not?
Yeah, no, he's not normal in terms of his physical ability and all of that stuff. Like, I mean, he's got a big-time arm. I think it was forget the coach that had come in here, you know, to recruit Ensworth. I think it was either Petrino from Arkansas, maybe was Bobo, who was at Georgia at the time, who said, you know, the only guy I remember throwing the ball like this was Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
I thought, okay. Like, you know, so I forget which coach said it, but, you know, when you have, you know, some of these coaches that have coached in the pros that have, you know, or coached in the SEC for, you know, a number of years, seen a lot of really good players and physically talented players to say, hey, Matthew Stafford, who was the number one overall pick, like, yeah, he reminds me of that guy when he throws the football. So, yeah, super talented.
What is the – I know you're second year head coach at Ensworth. What's a college head coach that's come over there that you're like, I got a pretty cool job over here at Ensworth?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy, like, all the visits. A head coach, position coach, you know, I like all the coaches that come through here. One of the cool things I you know, love about, you know, being a high school coach is, like, whether we have kids that go play, you know, Division I, II, or III, I just think it's an – I love the game of football. I think you should play it as long as you can play it, at whatever level you can play it at. And so for us, you know, when we have a kid from Ensworth that can go play in college at any level it's exciting for us to be a part of it. We have a player that played for us last year that's going to play for TSU this year. I think that he was drastically under-recruited. I can't wait to go watch him play at TSU this year. I hope he's got 10 sacks this year because, I love him that much. And we've got a bunch of players that are like that, and it's exciting. I mean, it's a little bit, just like seeing somebody get an opportunity. So I mean it. I know I'm not answering your question. Look, we've had everyone over here. I mean, Josh Heupel, Marcus Freeman, you name them. I mean, everyone comes here. But, it's really about the opportunity that all of our kids have, to go play at any level.
How much fun are you having coaching your son?
You know, it's good. I got to be honest. I turn a lot over to, our assistant coaches, and I kind of do a little bit more of the head coach thing. So, my brother Matthew is our offensive coordinator. He does a lot of the communicating to Taylor. And then Alex Hornibrook, who was the starting quarterback at Wisconsin for a few years, he's our quarterback coach. So, I find myself yelling at other positions more.
I would tell you, Tim, the most stressful thing about my son playing athletics was when he was pitching. And that drove me insane.
Yeah. Taylor's done a really good job. He's kind of got that Eli Manning about him where, I think I've said this to you before. With Eli, you never knew if he won the lottery or if his dog died. You know what I mean? You were you're just kind of the same. And so Taylor is that way. He's just kind of unfazed and and so I think that, there's probably some pressure on him. He's got a uncle that's the offensive coordinator and his dad's the head coach and all of that stuff, and we have high expectations here, but he really kind of is he's just completely unfazed by it. So that's been a good thing for us.
I'm curious, though, what's the protocol? Are you coach or is it dad and Uncle Matt? What's the deal?
He just calls Matthew. He just calls Matthew Matthew because when you're in the circle of trust, it's full name for Matthew, not Matt.
Right.
You know what? That's a great question. I'm pretty sure he calls me dad. I'm going to start paying attention to it now. You're like, what did you call me? Did you call me by my first name?
What you're probably going to learn is when he's mad at you, you're coach. When he's not your dad.
He's not allowed to be mad at me. I can only be mad at him.
Exactly. Tim, thanks for the time. As always, good luck Friday night, and we'll talk next week.
Cool. See you, fellas.
See you. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the program, the head coach at Innsworth as they'll take on Nashville Christian. That's going to be a great game.
Justin M. on Twitter, JustinM_NFL. The Titans were waving lineman Andrew Ruptich.
Ruptich.
That's not right. Ruptich?
Yes.
Ruptich. he got cut. There you go. Sorry, Andrew Ruptich.
Are you surprised by it? I'm a little surprised.
I thought he was like a borderline guy.
Yeah.
I'm not too upset about it.
McCormick says, this is one I thought would make it, but with Blake Hantz coming on board, he became expendable. And they could.
And
I want to keep stressing this. The 53 that comes out at 3 o'clock is not going to be the 53 probably by Friday.
Right.
Because they are going to make some waiver claims. I'll tell you one when we come back. That I think they should look at running back. We'll do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, here on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game.